Hey y'all, it's Connor. Thank you so much for joining us for a brand new episode of Drama. This week we've got Saleha Pfeiffer on the pod. I am her number one fan, so this was a huge, huge gag for me. You're gonna love this episode. Before you listen to it though, I've got to tell you, we also have even more episodes for you on our bonus content platform, which is on Patreon. Drama Plus, that's the official name because it's all the drama you love, plus more. You get access to our close friends and bonus episodes every month. It's super fun and it supports the podcast. So please, please, please go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a member of the Drama Plus fam for $5. We love you all. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Let us know what you think. Rate us, review us, and enjoy the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, how are you today?
I'm good, but wait, I need to tell you, you're glowing. You look amazing.
It's definitely just the filter that I've grown accustomed to on Zoom.
or the natural lighting shining. I'm in like
Or
my
that, yeah.
the shadows of my apartment are weird and my ring lights being crazy. So, but I'm
Thank
good.
you.
It's a long weekend and taking full advantage of it, not thinking about work at all. Went to a really fun drag brunch yesterday. It was a
Yes.
Beyoncé-themed drag brunch. It
So
was
fun. Where was
amazing.
it at?
It was at Rise,
Okay.
which I've never had their food before. So
Will
I'll
you ever
just
again?
table that.
I was at a drag brunch yesterday too. We both Sunday funded.
Wait, what was yours
It
themed?
was
Anything?
the theme was Dirty Pop. And so it was like all like the pop songs of the last like 20 years. It was
That's
amazing.
fun.
Every person who's done like the Super Bowl halftime show got like a moment, kind of, was like the
Oh,
idea, I think, behind
okay.
it. Yeah. So it
Interesting.
was super fun. 'Cause you know who didn't though? Was Kelly Clarkson. And I don't think she's done the Super Bowl halftime show, but she
Oh.
has some of the best pop songs ever. And I was sad she didn't get her moment. Neither did Pink
Wow.
during this drag brunch.
Has Pink hosted the or performed at the halftime show?
I don't think so.
You know who would be great is Miley.
Oh yeah.
Miley needs to do
Yeah,
it.
she's a rock star.
Oh
But
my God.
it's been a drag-filled weekend because of course we had the Rusical night on RuPaul's Drag Race the other night. And so it's
Much
been
anticipated.
it's been just like a fun couple of days. I remember like a couple of years ago before the Rusical, Hunter and I started this new tradition where we'll watch all the old ones. And I do
Oh.
have a critique, is I miss when they sang live. And I think the last time they did the live Rusical was the Cher one in
Okay.
season 10.
Wow, so it's been a long time. It's been years.
Years. Yeah.
Why'd they stop? Just because
I can
the
hear Ms. Cracker's vocals doing a Cher impression. Yeah, I don't know why they stopped, but
Probably easier.
yeah, I mean, I guess you don't have to be a good singer as a drag queen. You know,
Right,
the
right,
idea that you
right.
need to be everything is tough, but I don't know. It was super fun. And I have to say, people continue to say that we look like plasma
And remind
out of
them of
drag.
plasma. I know. I was at the bar watching and people were saying that.
I'm like, oh, so you think we're annoying theater
I
gays?
know. I always say, okay, is that a compliment or not? She did really well in the musical.
She has two wins,
I thought
so
Saphira
she's
was
doing
going to win,
fine.
though. She was
Yeah, she was
amazing.
amazing.
Anyway, fun weekend, and it's all capping off here with this chat we're about to have, which,
Yes.
Dylan, we're obsessed with this gal.
We have wanted
This
her
gal.
for
I
years and
know.
years and years. Always been on our dream list, and the timing is right. She just wrapped up a Broadway show. We're catching her on a nice, well, morning off. She keeps gigging.
She
It never
does.
stops. But I'm going to read the credits. I can tell this is going to be a fun one based on our little pre-pod chatter. But let's get into her bio first. Our guest today is everything. Her gorgeous talent, supernova voice, and unstoppable stage presence have solidified her as one of our most in-demand modern leading ladies. She just finished her run as Eurydice in Hadestown, having appeared on Broadway previously as Penny Lane in Almost Famous the Musical. Her road to the Broadway stage was paved with incredible roles and turns in the spotlight as she starred as Ava Perón in Evita and Songs for a New World at New York City Center, the latter of which she appears on the cast album for. She starred as Eliza in Hamilton on tour, Ophelia in Hamlet in Shakespeare in the Park, and opposite Renee Fleming in The Light in the Piazza at the Lyric Opera of Chicago. Other stage credits include West Side Story and Sondheim on Sondheim, both at the Hollywood Bowl, Sunday in the Park with George, Gun and Powder, Chess, Camelot, and more. On film, she has appeared in The Jazzman's Blues, as well as on television in Curb Your Enthusiasm, Scandal, The Good Fight, and more. Her incredible solo show, You Are Here, is now available on Audible. The sky's the limit for this queen, and we are gagged to finally have her on the pod. Please welcome to drama, Saleha Pfeiffer.
Oh my God, that was the sweetest intro ever. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. Oh my God. Wait, I saw your face like lighting up when we were talking about the Rusical. Are you a Drag Race person?
I am. I always have been, but I've never been good about like actually watching it. And I'm committing myself this year. I have to. I'm making sure I watch it every weekend. I can't miss out. And I loved the Rusical. I loved the Sound of Rusic so much. I couldn't. I watched it. I was watching it with my best friend. We immediately watched it again. We like run it back. We need that again. Inject it into my veins. I loved it. I loved it so much.
So were you good. Who are you loving in the cast?
I think right now Plasma really fucking did it up. I was like, you better live your truth. You better claim your moment. And then, okay, wait, I'm bad with names. Nymphia is really, really blowing me away with the looks, honey. So yeah, everyone is just a feast for the eyes.
Totally. I'm excited for next week, the Snatch Game. I don't know when this episode is going to come out. In the future, we'll know when this is out, but I'm excited to see what Plasma does in particular, because she slayed Barbara a couple weeks ago. And then, I mean, I wonder if she was thinking of doing Barbara for the Snatch Game, and that's why she was so hesitant to do it in that challenge.
Awesome. Do we remind you of Plasma?
You know, when you said that, I would be lying if I didn't say there are parallels.
Okay.
Your own people. But I think that's an amazing, I mean, listen, she's doing her thing. So I would take that as a very high compliment.
Thank you, Saleha. You know, we tend to get the theater RuPaul girls on our show. We've had like Jan, Alexis Michelle, Peppermint. So maybe Plasma will be a future guest and we'll be able to tell her. It'll be a true meeting of the minds, but...
We're claiming this for sure.
Yes.
Now, we do like to check in with our guests at the top of every episode, see how they're doing. Are you well?
What a question. You know what? It's interesting. Like, this has been one thing I really have not figured out how to do is kind of find a baseline after the run of a show. I've been lucky, like, this past kind of very long stretch moment in my life was one of the most intense working moments that I had. So it was kind of from like April through to 2 weeks ago of about, so like April, May, June, July, August, September, November, December, January, February. Yeah, it was like a 10-month stretch of like from the start of my time doing Hamlet, doing Shakespeare in the Park to finishing Hadestown. And during that time, like I was learning Hadestown at the same time that I was doing Hamlet. And so it was kind of like everything was stacked on top. And I was lucky enough to be developing the next show I'm doing during the month of January. And so I have lovingly called this chapter in my life Prednisone and a Prayer. Or that might almost be my memoir, honestly, like Prednisone and a Prayer, the Saleha Pfeiffer story. Where you're kind of just like, you know what I mean? You're just like, I got to do what I got to do to make it through this time and deliver and really perform at the level that I want to. And so especially during this last month, like leading right up to February 4th, I was like, you know, you're rehearsing 10 to 6 and shuffling on over to your show and getting there right in time to like, you know, maybe eat something and then do your show. And these shows were not casual. Like, if you can't tell, like, I am not a tragic vibe.
Not at all.
Listen, someone's listening to this, like, she better think again. No, you know, I just, like, the person that I am, I don't know what it is, but, like, act two never ends well for me. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, I'm either overdosing, I'm either, you know, it doesn't end well for Ophelia.
One of the most famous deaths in theater.
Okay, like, kind of the OG tragic bitch. And then Eurydice, you know, I'm just like, these ancient, like, I am doing... ancient tragedy. And so like it was kind of this 10-month stretch of very both physically and emotionally figuring out, okay, like how do I make this work? How do I deliver? How do I make sure that all this work is worth it and that I'm not, you know, half-assing it in any way? And so it was a lot of kind of like, I think the metaphor I've been using, I've been like marionetting my body by doing like drink a Celsius to make sure you can do this show, drink another one to make sure you can do that show. And here's 2 Advil PM to somehow go to sleep. Cause for me, you know, like the sleep is non-negotiable. So I'm just like, all right. Generally, I had just completely lost sight of the baseline of like my general wellness. And like, you know, when you stop prednisone, your body is kind of like, and I feel like this is a good PSA for all the people listening to this who, you know, want to go into this potentially, is like, it will help you sing for sure, but it messes with your whole body. It is a loaded question for this moment in my life where I'm like, yes, like things are so good. Life feels very like, I think for the first time, I feel so sure of myself and so sure of the future. And I think that's a really amazing feeling. And it's like, in theory, I'm like, wow, all that work wasn't for nothing. And people are taking notice and it's reaching, the art is reaching the people that it should. And that's an amazing feeling. But I'm like, these heart palpitations, honey, they have got to stop at some point. You know, so I feel like it's kind of been like right after I finished Hadestown, I went upstate with my boyfriend and have been trying to just like keep it as chill as possible. And I think in the last 2 days, I was like, wow, oh my gosh, like I could feel myself returning to myself, actually. Like I'm starting to feel like me. I'm not feeling like anxious, like, oh my God, it's 7 o'clock, I should be doing something, like learning how to kind of just sit down and be with myself and not be on the go all the time. And so all that to say, I'm doing well.
I'm so glad to hear it. Well, you mentioned prednisone. I think about Ivy and Smash, and she was having hallucinations and all these things.
So. Oh my God. I don't know about the, I love the publicity that prednisone got.
Right.
Smash. Yes.
I wonder if it will remain in the new stage adaptation.
Listen, time will tell. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
So because Almost Famous was a shorter run, or no, you probably did Hamilton for a longer time, but I was going to say, was Hadestown your longest run of a show? But Hamilton was probably longer.
Yeah, Hamilton was my longest and it was a year. And okay. I mean, I think for anyone's body and mind and soul, like, I don't really know how people, like the time that I spent with Hadestown, I was like, that's perfect. I was like, I think like around half a year with the show for me is just like, that is mwah, excellent. Though I hope the things that I do in the future run forever. You know,
of course, of course. That's so, I mean, I don't know how Eva did Eurydice for those many years.
Oh my like it was... gosh, I know. I thought about that a lot. Her and Reeve both up in like, you know, 900, like I think Reeve had done like 1200 by the time he was done.
What?
And so yeah, it's a long time. I don't know if I could do it, but yeah, no, they really stuck it out in a really beautiful way because their performances were just that whole show, honestly, I think there's something about it. It is of such quality, and you know that the people who are coming, like without a doubt, you're gonna come and you're gonna have like a very real, visceral, beautiful experience. And I think it's like, because the universalness of it, you're just like, it feels worth it. You like, you can't help it. Like the music's just so good. Like I've done shows where it does not feel like that, and it can be really hard. Yeah. In your makeup, like life's got to be better than this, you know. But that was so that couldn't have been less the case with Hadestown.
Oh my God! Well, I went to go see you in Hadestown in January. I walked up to the box office on like a Saturday afternoon, like an hour before, and I was like, "How do I get in here and see you?"
Yeah.
Well, you and the whole cast, by the way, was beyond.
Aren't they amazing?
Oh my God! But between Betty and Philip and Jordan, I mean, it was Lilius. It was beyond. But I cannot say enough how moved I was by your performance.
Thank you.
I sobbed twice, and I've seen Hadestown, you know, half a dozen times. But Flowers will never be the same again, Saleha. I mean, that was.
Thank you.
The world stopped. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate that. And thank you for saying that about Flowers in particular, because I was, you know, it took me a minute. I think like Hadestown was one of the processes where like I just had to be okay with the fact that I didn't feel like it was fully baked by the time that I got to my first performance. Like, I think that might just be a little bit what replacing on Broadway is like. I think it's just like, you know, it's hard. That was the first time that I'd ever not really been a part of the, you know, putting together of a whole production. And I think feeling connected to that process can really inform and help your whole just like nervous system and everything when you're creating a character. So kind of like being plopped into it and doing it at the same time as like another show, like I was like, oh, I feel like nothing's getting as much attention as it should, and so here we go, I'm just gonna like throw myself at this and see what sticks. Kind of, I feel like I probably did it right like twice, you know. I feel like there's probably like two performances where I was like, ah, there she is, there, you made it. But I think that was kind of the beautiful thing about this kind of like process in my life, where there was a day where I finally found my real way like into it, and Flowers started to feel like a really true journey and a true catharsis. And so it always makes me so happy when other people connected to it in that way. So thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm so envious that Connor got to see you. I got to see Betty earlier in the year. And you, when you said like, I think we're all secretly theater kids, that I think Betty is another example of someone who was totally a theater kid and then finally got to live out their dream on Broadway.
100%. And let me tell you, like, oh my God, I could not love Betty more. I think one of them, probably, you know, I'll say that on the record, I think one of the best things, if not the best thing, to come out of my time in Hadestown is my friendship with them. Because I don't know, she was just like, every day, I feel like sometimes in the Broadway culture, and it makes sense. Everyone's tired. Everyone's hurting. Your whole life surround is, you know, is just like so like boiled down to just like doing the show, recovering from the show, right, getting ready to do the show, whatever it is. And that company in particular works really, really hard. They are in rehearsal a lot. So just shout out to all of them. Let me say right here, like, that is an unbelievably beautifully hardworking and committed cast and company and crew over there. And Betty, though, was like, you are so exactly spot on. You know, her first and only like stage, I think she was the grave digger in Oliver. Was the grave digger, like, some, like, she had her one line that she still knows to this day. But every day, like, if I was having a rough day, they'd be like, Hey, you listen to me. You're living your dream, all right? You're incredible. Just like the kind of friend that will be like, I am not going to let you not believe in yourself. Yeah. I am not going to let you lose sight of the fact that you are doing exactly what you set out to do, and having that kind of like love of life and like never acclimating to the fact that, like, you know, like, it's a big deal to be a lead on Broadway. And so that reminder for me was, so it's just like, do not let yourself get jaded. We are so lucky to be doing this. Don't let the exhaustion, like, just drink a Celsius, man. We drank a lot of Celsius.
Sounds together. Like it. Sponsorship needed to come through.
Listen, we tried our best. We tried our absolute best. I can send you the unhinged email that we sent in an attempt to try it. And they were just like, hey, if you want, you can become an ambassador. We were like, we don't want to be ambassadors. Just please send us a fridge for free. We were like, we want free shit.
Exactly.
We did not get it, because they were like, why would we send it to you for free when you're buying it in bulk? Like, yeah, we're like, true. Yeah, no, Betty, who, whatever you're imagining them to be, all the good things multiply it times a million. Like, that is someone I could cry. I really miss Betty. I'm like, I can't believe, like, we were kind of like, isn't it crazy that we didn't know each other before this? And so I think that it was just like, you know, on our last performance, I was just like, man, getting to take a Broadway bow next to someone that you can call a best friend is a really special thing. And so I will hold that in my heart forever. My goodness.
It's so funny, Connor. I remember when you told me that when you walked up to the box office, you ran into a mutual friend of ours.
Oh my God, yeah. Casey Likes was walking by. And he was on his way to Back to the Future. And I was like, I've got to see your girl. And he was like, oh my God, I wish I could see her so bad in this.
I need to go see him. I need to get to the Winter Garden immediately. It is no surprise to me whatsoever that he immediately, like, you talk about someone who was just like born to do this, you know, came out the womb ready to be on Broadway, and just the silliest person. I met him when he was 17 at our chemistry read for Almost Famous, and now you're just like this real, I don't know if I can call him a man quite yet, But you know, he's a big boy now, and I'm so proud of him. It's so wild, but I'm just like, obvious, like, duh, of course. Like when that news came out, I was just like, yeah, it's Casey. Like,
he did our show like the morning of your first preview, I want to say, of Almost Famous. And so he had, of course, beautiful, beautiful things to say about you. But Connor and I really loved Almost Famous, and we had a really great time. And there's some bops in that show. Connor and I still sang Morocco to each other all the time. I mean, what was it like embodying Penny Lane on Broadway?
Oh, my God. I mean, it was such a loaded experience. I think at the end of the day, you really learn how many factors go into what makes it work. And I think there was something in my head that clicked when, like, there were frustrations and exhaustions, whatever, all the whole thing that come with it. And something clicked for me when I was just like, hey, you don't know how much time you get to do this again. And it was the most powerful thing. I think that I have this theory about musical theater. And the reason why we have so many divas and the reason why we feel so moved, I just think that, like, when musical theater is right, I think it taps into, like, the true power of the divine feminine in a very real way. And I think that's why people feel so connected to, I'll go ahead and say, us to some degree, that there's this kind of, like, deep love and appreciation of, you know, femininity and the power of femininity. Like, I think that's what this craft really does.
Absolutely.
I think that's why we love it so much. And each role that I have done, and I've been really, like, when you were to say my resume, I'm just like, wow, like, I have been unbelievably lucky that I've gotten to, like, play a lot of the roles that I always hoped I would. And I can't believe that. I'm just like looking back at my career, I'm just like, oh, I really hoped I could. And then I got to. And Penny Lane, like, talk about a character that really taps into, you know, the power of your sexuality, the power of what it means to be a woman, or what it means to be a girl. And I think there was something about, you know, when I first played that role, I was out of town. Like, I was attached to that project for like 4 years of my life.
Wow.
And starting when I was 24, and then we opened on Broadway when I was 28. And when we first went out of town to the Old Globe, like, I was like fresh off of like this terrible breakup and kind of living like on friends' couches and like figuring out my life, but in a way that felt so beautifully Penny Lane, because I also felt unbelievably independent and, you know, like heartsick, but also kind of like, you know, no attachments, no boundaries. Like, I felt like her and I felt beautiful, and having, you know, being able to channel that energy into something for other people to kind of feel. And that was a part of a kind of lineage of this character, you know, from like Kate Hudson. And what I thought was so amazing about getting to play Penny Lane and getting to be, you know, a woman of color playing Penny Lane, like, it was a character, you know, that Cameron created that just existed outside of the movie. You know, like, I see the Penny Lane coat for sale all over. You see girls wearing it. Like, that coat is synonymous with a certain kind of freedom and confidence. And I think that, like, if there's two words to, you know, describe that character, it was freedom and confidence, where it was just kind of like, who, like, no one can tell me a goddamn thing when I'm wearing this coat, when I look like this, you know? The 70s glamour, the idea of being a muse, of being living art, being something that people are just inspired by being around you. And I think taking that on and being like, all right, if they saw this in me, then that must be who I am. So let's just enjoy it. Let's just believe it. And let's just do it. And so playing her, like, there were days, like, you know, there were days, like, if you don't feel cute, how's that? When you're like, oh my God, when you're not really feeling it, when you're like, okay, how am I going to get out there and convince everyone that, like, I'm that girl? But then you just would, you know, you just have to, like, pull it out of somewhere, the depths of yourself, and be like, I am as confident, as free as they come. Mm-hmm. And no one can tell me nothing. And so I loved my time with Penny. And I just wish that we had more time. They're workshopping the show again, which I think is so exciting.
I heard about that.
You know, and I'm like, why not? Like, there's no rules in this business. Like, go do it. If you're not done, keep doing it. The world is ready to receive it. People love this movie. People love this character. And truly, as well, on top of that, just like the whole process Like, I think it was unbelievably, even though it broke my heart when we closed, I think it was one of the most hugely formative experiences that I possibly could have had. Like, looking back, like, I'm not happy that that happened in the general macro sense, but it did. And because it did in the way that it did, I came out of that process so sure of myself. I came out of that process, like, trusting myself and so, like ready to, you know, start working on my own projects and to start making my own dreams come true. So yeah, I mean, truly, it's like now that I'm saying it to you guys, it's just like my entire, I think, trajectory as an artist, aside from the parts that were very, you know, publicly, like, everyone knows you're up to this or whatever, but the private lessons that I learned from my time with that show are a huge part of who I am now. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very, very grateful for that. So all that to say, that's what it was like.
Wow. I mean, it was a beautiful performance, and no one's cooler than Penny Lane. And you really ate that.
No one's cooler than Penny Lane. Thank you. Yeah. I was like, because at the end of the day, who was it? Like, the people in the cast, people always say this to me after they get to know me. They'd be like, oh, like, I really thought you were kind of a different person before I met you. It turns out you're just like a big dork. And I was like, you found me. And so it was cool to masquerade as someone truly, truly cool.
Yeah. Oh, for a couple hours. Well, I have to tell you, I mean, the first time I saw you on stage was in Evita at City Center, and I still talk about that to this day. I mean, and I think Sammy did such a great job with directing it, and I had only ever seen it once a high school production had done it back in my hometown.
Yeah.
And of course, it's one of the most famous musicals of all time, but to see it, your performance of it was beyond. I loved that production. I listened to you singing You Must Love Me, the Broadway.com version, all the time. I'm like, wait, why is this song only 90 seconds? Like, we need.
Oh my God. Thank you. You know, it is wild how huge that production was and has been in my career. Like, I think that was one of the first moments where I was like, I might be one of the girls. Like, this.
Hell yeah.
Well, I remember just thinking, like, she's never made her Broadway debut. Like, that was like a big thing in conversation at the time.
Yes. And, you know, on this podcast, I can share, it wasn't for lack of offers, honey.
Okay.
But all that to say, that it was kind of like, you know, between my team and I was like, all right, let's be choicy about what the first Broadway show is. And, like, looking in hindsight, I'm just like, as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, I've gotten some amazing advice. Time to refer back to her, to me, to kind of know what the right decisions are. But I think there was something kind of cool about that was part of the discussion. And I think that's also another, you know, when it comes to level of performance and how we look at it, that, like, Broadway is kind of this end-all be-all, this catch-all for everything. It isn't, you know, it's one place where you have to pay the most to see it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where, and City Center has just been such an amazing home for me. Like, one of my first jobs out of school was, like, right when I had finished Hamilton, I got to do, Sunny in the Park was before that. That was right after I graduated school.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know what I am doing here, surrounded by all these, like, Tony nominated actors, but I was like, all right, I'm so ready to do this. And then getting to do Songs from New World after that, which was just like, I just feel like City Center has a really cool way of, like, the people who are coming to those are the people who are meant to receive it, you know, like, the audience is, like, the tourists aren't coming to City Center necessarily. Like, these are people who love and know these pieces and love and know the cast and are following everyone. And so just like, I feel like I've never felt more like a part of the culture of, like, our culture collectively, just like the theater loving people, than especially that moment in Evita. Maybe I'm speaking this into existence, but I have such a, like, trial by fire, when it rains, it pours life. It has always been that way. Like, I don't know what it is about my career, but it's always like, here's your next opportunity. It's going to be a kick in the teeth, bitch, you know, like, good luck. And so I had just finished, I was still doing my run of Almost Famous at the Old Globe, and I was spending my days learning the music for Evita, and then I flew directly from the airport to rehearsal. at City Center, left my closing party, had no voice, was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I kept on having stress dreams leading up to my first day of rehearsal. Like I literally had a stress dream that the New York Times came out with an article, said the actress hasn't learned the lines you'd like to hear. I was like, what have I done? Like I got this role and maybe it was too much. I was in the stretch of my life where everything overlapped from Almost Famous to Evita to Piazza to Gun and Powder. Everything was literally within a day or two of each other. And it was kind of just like, all right, like get up, drink your coffee and just execute, like learn it, eat the humble pie every day, mess up a lot, get there, don't care about what people think. Like truly another really formative moment in my life where it was just kind of like, it's not that deep. Learn your stuff, sing it as best you can. It was the time in my life when I really learned how to let go of any need for perfection in the moment. Just let your process be your process. You know that you can do it. And Evita was particularly like my new mantra before anything. Cause I was like, all right, this is a role that the audience that's gonna come to this are coming with some ideas of what this should be. And they are gonna have high expectations and they are gonna be, you know, I was like, I know, I do the same thing. We always show up like, all right, how's this gonna be? And so like, I would kind of come through the like curtain thing. And every time before I'd go out, I'd just be like, fuck them. And then I'd walk out and, you know, just and that was like the most Evita, talk about the divine feminine. Like I've never felt more powerful than in, you know, the true, like the glamour of it all, the power of it all, the kind of just like, take no prisoners feeling of Evita. But that has turned in, because I was just like, some people are gonna love this, some people are gonna hate it. It doesn't matter to me. I am going to do my absolute best and I'm gonna give a performance that I feel proud of. And I'm gonna enjoy, you know, the 2 weeks that I get to play this role, it might not come again. And that ended up being like a wild lead, because I was just like, I think if I can do this, maybe I can do anything, you know? It happened so fast. And, you know, so City Center is wild because people are, you know, since I've done it, that was the first one. And they're like, so we don't want to use books for this. And I was like, okay, all right. So you don't want to use books? You never need to use a book, y'all. Like, you know, where all of a sudden, like, I feel like City Center has become just like true. Like every show is kind of a little bit of a bid for Broadway now, where it's like,
it feels that way.
Used to be like, let's really let this material sing, to now it's like, this is a full production. So it was just like, you are getting reviewed pretty much on like maybe the second run you've ever done. Like the New York Times is there, everyone's there. Your B-roll is all from your very first and only dress rehearsal. And you kind of just have to decide that what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, and know that people are going to be judging you as if like you've had months to prepare, as if you've had, you know, as if you just like, you know, like people, when people are comparing you to like Patty or something, and you're like, first of all. And to think, honestly, when I look back, I'm like, I was 25 when I was doing that. And there was like, it was just like, no, I think City Center, because of its shot out of a cannon nature, there is no room for doubt. You know, it's just kind of like, get out there and do it and do not think too much about it. Rip off the Band-Aid, and it's gonna hurt a little bit, but it's also gonna be the most thrilling thing you've ever done in your life. So I loved doing that show so much. And I think 2 weeks of Evita, also about as much as anyone should do it, you know? Sure. I was like, I probably had one more in me. And when it comes to casting and race and all the nuances that that we are currently discussing and figuring out, the really complicated sides to, you know, a role like Evita, I think I really, you know, kind of did it in the last kind of period of time. I think it's amazing to see like other mixed race Evitas or Black Evitas at Broadway Con or something, and knowing that I was part of that. And that hopefully, you know, like that like some amazing Latina who will be able to play that role in a way that feels right to her, what will be right. So all that to say, that was what it was like to play.
Yeah. Beautifully said. It was such a gorgeous performance. And I can tell you put so much heart into everything that you do. You also have built up a thick skin, I can tell too, of like just needing to trust the work and your abilities and not really worry about everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's my, and I don't judge anyone else who feels differently, but I'm like, it is just such a privilege to get to do this at all. I am really of the mind that we got into this because it's a good time. Like, I'm just like, it's musical theater. It can change the world. It can change people's lives. But if it doesn't go perfectly, like nobody fucking cares, you know? It's okay. It's beyond okay knowing that if you don't enjoy this, then it's just not for you. Like, this is fun at its baseline. Like a day of like doing a Broadway show, like you're messing around with your friends, you're singing your face off, you're feeling sexy, you're whatever it is. Like, it's just like, we are the lucky ones in this world. There are people who do things that are very difficult. There are people whose vocation, there are heart surgeons out there. There are people going to the moon. Like, I'm singing some songs. And, you know, like feeling some emotions and not to say that that there aren't really hard things about that. But, you know, as a rule for myself, I'm just like, when it stops being a good time, that's when I need to take a step away. But like at the end of the day, it's just like, it's okay. It's never really whatever you want to get your panties in a bunch about. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I just really do think like, this is one of the most fun and beautiful lives that a person can have. And we, you know, when it's good, it's so good. When it's hard, it's really hard. When you're hoping you can do it and the chances don't come. So if you are one of the lucky people where you're like, I got this amazing opportunity, it's just like, enjoy that. Enjoy that. No one's going to enjoy it for you. Like, don't get so caught up in the rest of it that you can't recognize that, like, this is an unbelievably fun thing to do. This brings joy. This helps people feel closer to themselves.
I think especially coming from you, I think a lot of people that'll resonate. You're one of the girls though. I love that you said, am I one of the girls? You are. You have an immense amount of talent and you've been able to tackle so many incredible roles, but I kind of am curious about young Saleha and the journey that led you to here. We call it the Ring of Keys moment.
To drama, that is.
Drama.
To
drama. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment in maybe your youth or sometime over the years where you realized, I want to do this. I want to be one of the girls.
Yeah. I think it was a like culmination. It's funny, when I look back, I don't really think there was actually ever anything else. There was no other way that this was going to go. But I think it started as early as summer camp was integral. And I did this amazing summer camp in Montana called Missoula Children's Theater.
Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Seattle. Well, I kind of grew up all over. That's a longer winded question. But Seattle was home for the longest. And my family is in Montana. I grew up in Missoula, Montana. I spent a lot of time there growing up. I go every year. And I went to this children's theater camp called Missoula Children's Theater. It was a sleepaway camp. It was like 2 weeks on this beautiful lake, Flathead Lake. And it was children's theater that goes around the country to like really small, like rural towns. And they'll have kids from these tiny towns all over the country who have never seen a play, never been in a play, like are really getting exposure to theater for the first time. And they'll bring them to this camp. So it's this camp filled with kids from all over, some of them from big cities, some of them from whatever. And we put on this show where it's like all these different medleys and whatever. And it was kind of one of the first times where all of a sudden people were really responding to my voice. Like I was just really like, you know, people were like, wow, this is really, you know, and I kept on kind of getting the solos and I just felt like beyond it working out, I just felt a sense of community that I had never experienced elsewhere really. Like my high school had a really good theater program. And so I kind of felt it there, but it was there where I felt like a change of, I want this forever. I want this. And I think in general, like I didn't have a lead in anything, period, until my junior year of college. When I played Sandy in Grease at the Fifth Avenue Theater. Shout out to the Fifth
Come Avenue. On.
But that was the first time. And so for me, truly, you know, I really mean it when I say like I got into this because it's a good time. Like I love being a part of a cast. And I think that really started at summer camp when I was just like surrounded by kids like me in such a way for the first time and having, you know, your talent validated within a space that your personhood is also being validated. It was like, oh my gosh, I want this forever. So I would say my Ring of Keys was Missoula Children's Theater for sure.
That's really Aww. Special. That's why these things are important.
Yes.
You know, these different children's theaters and educational opportunities.
Come on, there's nothing better than theater camp.
I know. So your junior year of college was when you had your first leading role. And then Hamilton happened like 2 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I'm sure you told the story before, but I guess it's been a little bit. How did Hamilton come into your life in a professional sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about the stars just aligning. I think I loved the show. When did it come out? The show was, I mean, it must have come out like my junior year.
It came out, yeah. 15 was, it opened August 2015.
Yeah, so 2015, yeah, my junior year, and every, you know, it was sweeping the world. People were becoming obsessed, and everyone was like, have those tweets, like, I just won the Hamilton lottery. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
All over everyone's Facebook, everyone was tweeting about it, and I was listening to, like, crazy, and people kept on being like, oh, well, you look like Pippa. You'd be such a great, you know, and so it was kind of in the ether for me. So leading up to it, my senior year was a very interesting, was another formative moment of, like, something hard happening. I had a thyroid nodule, so I had to get surgery on my throat. They had to literally cut me open right here, and I had a potentially cancerous tumor, that's how what I'll call it, right on my throat. And this was the summer of my junior year. So I had just finished up. I just got my equity card.
Being hopelessly devoted to you.
Okay. But I was also getting, like, biopsies on my throat and just, like, being like, oh my God, of all the places on my body, fuck, you know, and thyroid cancer ran in my family. And I was very nervous, and the thought of, like, okay. And there was, like, it was like a 1 in 100 chance that it would affect the nerve that controls pitch. Okay. And I was like, 1 in 100 is, like, those aren't great odds, to be honest. And so kind of having to, like, think to myself, all right, if things are going to go differently, like, what is my, you know, so much of my identity is attached to my voice. Like, but it just made it so that I took incredibly good care of myself. I did American Idiot. I was in the ensemble of American Idiot. My the fall of my senior year. And I was like, if this is the last show that I do in this capacity, I did it. And just, like, it changed how I thought about everything and how I brought myself to everything from that point on. And I just took myself so seriously. So it's another thing where I'm just like, it sucked when it happened, but I'm so glad it did. Cause then I was just like, I was ready. You know, if I was that person who was late all the time, junior year, I was on my shit in such a way. Senior year was like, all right, girl, like, you had a feeling of what it felt like to maybe lose this. So let's go. And so for the rest of my senior year, I was Sarah Brown in Guys and Dolls. That was my big college. That was how I finished out college. But during that time, I signed on with my manager, Jen Namoff. Shout out Namoff and Co. Love you. And she was just like, well, hey, like, we just kind of started working together. And I sent in audition tapes for Wicked and for Hamilton and came to the city a few weeks later, did my callbacks for both. They were both going very well. And then it kind of started to look like, you know, maybe Hamilton was going to happen. The story is very just by the book. I sent in a self-tape and then I came to the city. I had another audition. Then I had another audition. It was Tommy Kail and Alex Lacamoire. And they were like, we're sending you to the show. And I was like, period. Like, if all I got out of this was a free ticket to Hamilton, it was like pre-Tonys, pre-everything, when, like, you could not get a ticket. And they're like, it's standing room. And then I get there and it is not standing room. I'm in the middle of the orchestra. And it really dawns on me that, like, I'm like, okay, this might happen. I watched the show and I'm like, I can do that. I can totally do that. I have my next audition and, you know, it's with everyone, like 20 people in the room. Lynn is there, Jeffrey Seller's there, everyone's there. And just being like, all right, like, I know I can do this and I think I have a chance. And I'm feeling good and doing it. And then next thing I know, I was like on my way to, I was my best friend, Ross Yoder, shout out Ross Yoder. We love him. I was on my way to his cousin's wedding in, like, a random town in New Jersey. I don't even remember. And I'd just gotten off the train. I was waiting for him to pick me up and I got the call. And then I have to say, and apologies to his cousin, like, her rehearsal dinner became about me very quickly. As soon as I told her, I was like, I'm doing Hamilton. And I told her, my friend's mom, she was like, what? And, like, that rehearsal dinner got derailed with everyone because they were like, Hamilton, oh my God. And then I kind of had, like, 8 months in between finding out and then starting. So because of that, Hamilton truly, especially at that time, it kind of had this magic fairy dust around it, where it was just like, people were really willing to trust me with things that were, like, far out of my depth. So, like, because I had Hamilton, like, when they needed someone to play Maria at the Hollywood Bowl, my managers were like, well, she's playing Eliza. And they're like, well, bring her out. You know, there I was doing, like, West Side Story at the Hollywood Bowl, like, second, you know, third lead I'd ever done in my life. But, like, all right, here we go. It was just one of those things where it was just like, I don't think I've ever been so ready for an audition than for that. Cause I was just like, I love this show. I know I'm right for it. I know they're going to need replacements as soon as I graduate. So I better be ready. And I was. And so it was just like, you know, when luck meets preparation and the stars kind of align and you just, you know, sometimes timing is just so insanely beautiful.
Oh my God. That's so cool. And I have to ask though, do you think Wicked will ever come back in your orbit?
You know, I mean, listen, who among us has not wished to be at the top of those low stairs singing that song? Like, that show was an integral part of my childhood of, you know, just deciding I wanted to do this. And so I will never say no. Yeah. I will never say no to it not being, if it's the right thing, it's the right thing. Right.
Now, wait, was it Elphaba or Glinda?
It was Elphaba. But listen, I love to tackle Glinda. I do either.
I can see you in the bubble. I can see it. You've got the range.
Thank you.
That'd be amazing. Wait, doesn't Ross date Dylan? Don't we know
Josh
Ross?
Stoll.
Yeah.
They're married. I sang at their wedding. Yes, Ross was my roommate in college the entire time.
Oh my God. Like,
best friends in the world.
Oh, yeah. And when we lived in Harlem, I used to see Ross at the grocery store like every week. And then he became like a chef, right? He's like a big time cook.
He's a big time cook now. He is really living his truth. He got to New York and he was like, I think I would know what I want to do more. And I was like, period, get after it. And he has. I'm so proud of him. He's the BuzzFeed like food editor. What? Like that's his job. Like any new environment he decides to go to, he just excels. And I'm so happy for him. Everyone check out his recipes. Yes.
I love that.
I mean, I've got to ask you because I have a crush on your man. I'm not coming for him, trust, but how did you and Kevin get together?
Yeah, I love our little story. He's just in the room. He's in our bedroom right now. And he's just the best. I literally, let me say on record, there isn't a better partner for me in the world. He is a dream. And boy, can he dance, among other
things. I know. I remember him catching my attention in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I think he was in West Side Story.
Shane Omen, honey. All right.
I would have met with him in the projector room during fifth period.
Who among us wouldn't? All right. But we actually met. I went to go see my friend Chad Burris in his first show of Mean Girls. And this was March. I remember very vividly because this was like the last of the before times. It was March 11th, 2020. And I thought a bunch of friends, like a bunch of us from Almost Famous, were gonna go see Chad and Mean Girls. So I like bought my ticket and like assumed we were all going. And then everyone was like, oh no, like I'm going next week. So I was like, okay. So I went and watched Mean Girls by myself. I got my frosé and sat with the girlies and had a lovely time. I saw a young Renee Rapp, I saw Sabrina Carpenter, all the new people. In what ended up being the only three times that they got to do the show.
I think the world changed the next day. Okay.
And so I was not, I was like literally about to not go. And I was like, no, of course, like I want to go. And Chad was amazing. Let me say right now, like get that man on Broadway ASAP because he was phenomenal. I was like, this is your first show. He was so good. So I saw him, we were buzzing. I was like, congratulations, da, da, da. And then they were throwing a little party for the new cast members. And Kevin and I met for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Like he came over, like he always says, like he was a friend of Kyle Selig's. Kyle Selig is he takes some, what's the word I'm looking for,
credit?
Yes. Yeah. Kyle Selig takes some credit for us getting together, because Kevin was like, Kyle, introduce me to your friend. And I met him, and this was like when he was in West Side, so like he was to like party with the Mean Girls people because he was a Mean Girls person at one point. And he was just like had the tats and like the undercut and just like looked so I was like, this guy has such a vibe to him, you know, just all black
bad boy.
You know, they looked hot. They did a really good job in that revival. All those boys were amazing.
Fine as hell.
All right. And so I met him. And then the next day he slid into my DMs. And then he slid into my life. And now here we are. And so like we just talked for like we DMs turned into texting, turned into FaceTiming, turned into like FaceTiming every day throughout the day. And then we met up. We met up in Montana randomly. And this was like such a, like I say this to everyone out there, if he wants to, he will. So he like got his family, he convinced his brothers to come do a backpacking trip in Glacier, Montana. And they were staying like 30 minutes away from where my family has a cabin. I was there with my best friends. And we were randomly actually going very viral on TikTok. I don't know if you guys have seen me and my friend Lisi LaFontaine, another starlet you guys should know of, and my bestie Spencer Clark. We were on a little COVID vacay at my family's cabin in Montana. And we just took videos of us like taking, we were literally taking shots, pretending it was water. We were like, oh, I'm really thirsty. It was the dumbest thing that we possibly could have done. And the next day we were like, this has been watched 500,000 times.
And so, I need to look this up.
It was a wild, it was just like, we were like, wow, what a year that was. But I met Kevin and then we were like, naturally the next step is we should just like live in New York together. Like, I don't know, you know, like the way COVID does that. And so yeah, I think
of course.
Like the ultimate, you know, sign of when something's going to work with someone is like, we had nothing to do every day. And we were like staying, you guys don't know who these people are. We stayed in Ricky Ubeda. Shout out to Ricky Ubeda. He let us stay in his beautiful apartment. Nikhil Sabu, who also let us stay in his apartment. So we were like, for all intents and purposes, like we were squatting in our apartments, living our lives, self-taping, hoping for the best, and just like vibing out and falling in love. And now it'll be 4 years in October. So we've been together for like 3.5 years. And all because I saw Chad Burris in Mean Girls that day. So
yes. I love this.
Thank you for walking us through that. That is so beautiful. You guys are gorgeous together.
Wait, who said I love you first?
Oh my gosh. I was such a chicken, but it was Kevin first. And it was like, we were about to go home for the first time for months after being in New York. And we'd had like this great day and he said it first. And I went, oh, thank God, I love you too. I was in my head, it had been like weeks where I was like, say it. And I was so nervous for some reason. I was so lame, but he was braver than me, but he said,
that's gorgeous. I love it so much.
What show do you guys want to do together?
Oh my God, what a great question. What show do we want to do together? We've always joked about doing Oklahoma at the Muni. I don't know why. I don't know why. Do not ask me why. We're like, oh yeah. Or Greece. We want to
do- I was going to say Greece. Now that you said that.
Let's do Greece. I would love to do Greece again. Okay.
But I want you as Rizzo.
Period. All right. It's time.
And he can be Kaneki.
It'll mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be my Kaneki. We'll be Rizzo. It'll be great. We can round this whole cast out. Uh-huh. It'll be a hit.
I mean, Chad should be in it. Oh, Chad needs to be in it with you guys.
Chad needs to be in it. Come on.
Yeah, he can be Roger or Duty. Yeah.
No, we could easily cast this and people would love it.
I'm obsessed with it. Oh my gosh. Well, you are such a lovely gal and I've loved getting to know you and hearing all about your life and career and love life. Obviously need those details, but we're sadly wrapping up. Before we say goodbye, we do end on a dose of drama. This could be the pop culture on your mind, that thing you're doing tonight, the rant, the rave, the thing you want to leave our listeners with. And Dylan, I'm going to toss it to you first.
Okay. So I guess my thing is that I am a full country queen now and I just have felt it slowly happening over the last like 6 months. It all started with Zach Bryan, who I have just been obsessed with his album. I don't know if you're familiar with his album, Something in the Orange. He has got all these great duets.
Casey Musgraves. Like
Casey Musgraves. And then Beyonce announces her next album is country. And I'm like, well, this is like all the stars are aligned, you know, because 16 Carriages has been on repeat for the last 2 weeks. But I'm just coming out as a country girl.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, that was kind of like somewhat in line with, I had like a twofer.
Oh, love this. Okay.
My drama. Because one I actually haven't seen yet, but I'm really excited. And I just like have to like publicly announce my absolute love for Miyazaki movies and Studio Ghibli. I don't know if you guys have like watched Spirited Away. And boy, like just discovered literally yesterday that the stage adaptation of Spirited Away is available on Max. You can watch it.
The stage show?
Yes. Yes. They turned it into a show and it looks really cool and creative and amazing. And I want to make a whole night of it. Like I want to have a viewing party. I want to live. I want to cry. Spirited Away is like probably, if not my, it's up there as maybe my number one, like favorite movie. Like I've watched that movie so many times. I was raised on like Totoro and like Kiki's Delivery Service, all of that. Like you know, my parents were too like granola to ever let me watch Disney. They're like, damn the corporations, studios, like international films with stuff. I was like, whatever. So that's what I grew up with. And I want to go to Tokyo and I want to go to the like Ghibli like land that they have.
I've seen pictures.
It looks so cool. And so like I think my twofer right now is like my cowboy boots, which I wear all the time anyway. Like I am fully leaning into this. I personally think this aesthetic really suits me and I am just going to enjoy it. And so it's a combination of like cowboys and Ghibli. And I'm really excited to sit down and watch Spirited Away. On Max, you heard it here first. If you didn't hear it before, let's all watch it together and geek out and have a good time.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And yet there's a stage version of My Neighbor Totoro as well that
yes,
is
that
in
too.
The West End.
Like,
yeah, I don't know if you can watch it though.
My cup runneth over. Like, something's happening. I'm like, the universe is like really giving me gifts right now. And I'm really happy about it. Like, how can we be upset when that exists in the world? You know what I mean?
I know. Oh, it's maybe we can watch it this week.
Yes, let me know what you think.
Please. Yeah.
Yes, we will.
We have to. I'll give a quick dose of drama before we go. And I was between two, but I'm going to go with this theater casting news that just came out in the last 24 hours. Vanessa Williams is going to be in The Devil Wears Prada in London.
Yes.
Amazing.
Love.
Amazing.
I mean, oh my of course, God. Love Beth Lovell. I didn't see her in the role, but for this new version, this new production, Vanessa is just perfect casting, right?
Phenomenal. Oh. And let me tell you right now, because Vanessa and I got to do Sondheim and Sondheim together. Oh. And so, oh yeah, if you want a little extra, if you want a little more of her, we have the Not a Day Goes By Losing My Mind duet. We did that at the Hollywood Bowl. That's one of those things in my life where I'm like, so Vanessa's like, she's straight, she's a friend of mine in this way that I can't even believe I get to say. Because, and can I tell you right now, like, I remember the first day of rehearsal, I was like, I can't believe it's her. Like, I was like, I have never met someone with more just innate star quality in my life. Like, she just walks in, she looks, her eyes, her blue eyes just beam across the room. And she's so kind, so casual, and so glamorous all the time. I am just like, that is someone who's oozing star quality in a way that you're like, everything you're imagining her to be, kind of like Betty, like, she is that. Like, she is that glamorous, just fucking bitch, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I love her so much. Yes, I'm with you on this. Yeah, on this,
she's gonna be great. How crazy you get to call her a friend. That's so just beyond.
Yeah, no, she's a good friend to have too. She's just the kindest. Her beautiful daughters, like, I'm just like, she's just amazing.
I love her.
Yes.
Love Vanessa in this house.
Oh, always, always. Okay, so where can the people find you to follow you? They probably already follow you, but where can they find you?
Yes, they can find me at @_Soleile. I am working on getting the Jess Soleya @Soleya handle. I'm trying hard. It belongs to a dental laser company right now. So if you just do @Soleya, you'll get all these crazy pictures of teeth. But @_Soleile, my profile picture is me, I think, in third grade. Okay. Not a child, it's me, but
it's so cute. Yeah, you would truly be one of the girls if you had the singular name.
Come on, handle. I'm trying very hard. So if you know anyone over at Soleil Dental, let them know that I am, like, I've messaged them and they have yet to even see my messages. So
They don't get it yet. Well, while everyone is following you, they need to follow us for At The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Soleil, this has been beyond my wildest dreams. You are such a delight, and we had so much fun with you today.
Guys, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Bye. We're excited for all you've got coming up, and we'll definitely let you know when we come by to see you and whatever it is that's next.
Please do.
Of course. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.